Good morning. How's everyone doing? Let's do it again. Good morning. How's everyone? Let's wake up. Ready to study the Word of God this morning? Oh, wow. Ready to study the Word of God? Hopefully, take your Bible and turn to Colossians chapter 1. I appreciate that. Colossians chapter 1. Inside of the bulletin is an outline to follow along this morning. We're going to continue on our series moving forward. And actually, this is the last message of this series. And so I've been excited about it. Hopefully, God has moved in your heart for you to take that next step with Him. And hopefully, this last message will motivate you to do this. Talking about from knowing the Bible to knowing God. And since I'm going to be talking about the Bible, I thought it'd be a good opportunity to kind of give you a little Bible quiz. You ready for a Bible quiz? Just kind of ask you some questions rhetorically, and you'll kind of answer them to yourself. So let me start off with just a few. A few for about the disciples. Just see where you're at this morning. Kind of easy. I believe they're easy. So what was the disciple that doubted the resurrected Jesus? Thomas. Very good. Very good. What was Peter's original name? Simon. Very good. Who are the sons of Zebedee? James and John. Very good. Who was the disciple to the Gentiles? Paul. Who brought Peter to Jesus? Andrew, right, Andrew. Who had Jesus a meal with many tax collectors? Matthew. Matthew did. Let me ask you a few questions about the churches. He's a little harder, but what church was neither hot nor cold in the book of Revelation? Laodicea. What church began in the hope of Lydia, the seller of the purple cloth? Philippi, the church of Philippi. Very good. At what church was Paul accused of turning the world upside down? You're changing everything, Paul. That was a little harder one. The church of Thessalonica. Now, if you got every one of these questions right, and I hope you did, or if you could answer every kind of question in a Bible trivia book, so you know the Bible really, really well. You say, but I really know my Bible. Does that mean you know God really well? No. So if you studied the Greek and you studied the Hebrew and you studied all the where it's Aramaic, you studied that and you knew that and you had several Bible degrees, does that still make you know God at all? Can you still do that and not know God at all? So you can. Is that possible? It's actually possible. So there is a difference between knowing God and knowing about God and His Word, right? There's definitely a difference there. So we want to focus on moving forward this morning. That's what this whole series is about. Moving from knowing the Bible to knowing God. That's what it's about. And will you join me in your Bibles at Colossians chapter 1? Hopefully you have that. Let me give you a little bit of background. Paul wrote this book. He wrote it to the church of Colossae. And we need to understand at that time began a teaching that would become very prominent in the second century. It was a false teaching of Gnosticism. It comes from a Greek word that starts with a G called gnosis, which means knowledge. And so Gnosticism was a false teaching that believed that they thought that you can know God by increasing your knowledge, kind of having this growing to have a super knowledge. And it stems kind of from Plato, that they have understand a distinction between good and evil. And that's what they thought. It's good and evil. And so what they thought, that God is spirit and He's immaterial and that God is good. And then to know God, we need to know Him through that which is immaterial, and that is knowledge. So therefore, they believe that the body in which you have is physical, is material, and those things are evil. So they said the immaterial is good, and the material is bad, which led them to believe that if we want to know God, if we want to know Him, we have to know Him through the immaterial, which is knowledge, increasing knowledge. So what the Gnostics would do, what they would do, they would have this teaching, this kind of a elevating teaching of 14 different levels or plateaus that you could attain to. And when you reach that 14th plateau or level, they said you would become almost as God. Is that true or false? Well, that's false, definitely false. No way that you and I can become like God. There's nothing like that. And so they also believe, as regards to their own bodies, what they thought their bodies were evil. And so they had a huge problem with our understanding of the incarnation. Because they thought, how could God, who was immaterial and good, how could God now take on flesh that was evil? And so they had a way to explain that. They said that when Jesus came here to this earth, that it wasn't really Jesus there, but he was kind of in a ghost, or what we would call a kind of a hologram. They said he really didn't have a body at all. It just appeared like a body, and that's how they explain it. And they go a little further. They look at their bodies, and they went in two different directions. One, some of the group believe that their body is evil, so there are spirit beings, and their spirits and kind of in bondage in this body. So what they would do, they would beat their body. They would deny their body. They would deny their body sleep. They would deny their body food. Any pleasure, they would deny their body because they believed that it was evil and they need to beat upon the body to make themselves more spiritual. And that was called asceticism. The other group was just the opposite group. And although the teachings had the same roots, it was called antinomianism. If I get it out, which means anti-laws, what it was talking about. And they thought that the body is evil, but they can know God through spirituality. The mind was spiritual, so they can know God. So it doesn't really matter what the body does, just as long as spiritually you understand him and you're increasing in the knowledge. And you can see the problem with that. So with that kind of teaching, there is no holds barred. Whatever the body wanted to do, the body did. So there's all kind of drunkenness and debauchery and immorality that took place. Meanwhile, they believed that they were still spiritual because they were in their mind, increasing in knowledge. It didn't matter what the body did. So Paul is writing this book to them, to the Gnostics at that time. He's writing to this teaching that started out, and he's writing them to say, this is false teaching. This is not right. And he's letting them know, we can know God, but it's not only through knowledge. But it doesn't involve the word. He says that we have to come to know him. He says through a relationship what he's talking about. So Paul is writing this, and he begins a prayer here in Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. And I just want to read the first two verses of this prayer, what Paul says. So chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. So he goes on and says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, is what he said. And so when we read this on the surface, it looks like a grocery list. It looks like, man, this is wonderful. Let's just mark them off, chalk them off. Boy, it's good. It's good. But when you study this passage, you see the construction of the grammar that he has put in this passage. It leads you to believe there's some connection to each one of these words. They kind of build off one another. There's a relationship there. And what we have here, there's a cycle that builds on one another. And what he's talking about here, they're just not words and just a bunch of words that he put out there that these sound like good items. He's actually building something here. He's building a cycle. These are the things that you should be doing in your life is what he's letting us do. And he begins this prayer to pray. So I want to do this morning, I want to look at this cycle this morning, and I want to help you and I to see that we all need movement. In your notes, you have just an outline. But on this, I want you to see up here on this screen, you're going to see how we all need movement. And it's going to, hopefully, it becomes very vivid to you to see where God wants us all to go with our lives. And so let's get started. I want to give you five stages of spiritual growth that God wants us to see in our life from this passage of scripture in verse 9 and 10. And we see here, he starts off, Paul's asking God that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. And we look at this, say, who doesn't want to know the will of God? Doesn't everyone know the will of God? We want to know God's will, and we all do. But how do we find the will of God? And that's the first stage of spiritual growth. It's the Bible. It's the Bible. We want to know this. In the Bible, we find God's declared will. We want to know the will of God so we can know what to do, so we can know how to follow God. And to do that, we have to read the Bible. That's what the Bible lets us know. We got to read the Bible. We know what God expects from us. It's expectation. That's the God's declared will we find through the word of God. But there's also, we're concerned about God's undeclared will that he has for each and every one of us. God's undeclared will is more or less, whom shall I marry? What job should I take? What school should I go to? Should I buy or sell my house? Should I retire early? Those kind of things we're very concerned about those. But I'm convinced from Psalm 37, you can read that later, Psalm 37, if we are committed to be obedient to God's declared will, he will reveal to us his undeclared will. If I'm committed to know God's declared will, the word of God, God will reveal his undeclared will. But here's the thing, it's naive for you and I to demand knowledge of God's undeclared will when we ignored the teachings and the truth of God's declared will, the Word of God. In other words, we come to God and say, God, what should I do in this circumstance? And how should you, I'm asking you for guidance and I'm asking you to lead me. It's very naive to come to God and expect God to answer that when you've not been obedient to this. When you're not living right before God. And we come to him, we're still expecting him to guide us and lead us. And he goes, I am. I want you to guide and be obedient to my declared will. And then I'll help you with your undeclared will. But we want to do sometimes do our own thing and expect God still to guide us and lead us. And God says, yeah, I'll guide you right back to the word of God. What have I asked you to do in this scripture right here to do? So God wants us to be led by this. How many of you got up early this morning? I was up before the sun came up. How many got up early this morning and you saw the sunrise? Anybody? There's a few of you. It was breathtaking. I mean, every morning you get up and you see the sunrise, especially today with the sun coming out, and it was just gorgeous. And the Bible says that God, that the heavens declare the glory of God. And this morning, what the heavens were doing, they were saying that God is great. They were declaring the beauty of God, that God took out his artistic pen and he took out his hand and he started drawing the sky and let us see how beautiful it is. He does that every sunrise and every sunset to see the beauty of his hand, to see the touch of God in the skies. And we're amazed at the things that he does. We're amazed. There's so much that we can learn about God through his creation. There's so much we can learn about, but there's a lot of things that we can't learn about God through his creation. There's a lot of things we don't know. There's things that we can know about God through his creation, but there's a lot of things we can't know about God through his creation. And some of it is like we don't know his redemptive plan apart from the word of God, of knowing his plan for the beginning and the end, what he has for us through creation. We can't understand that by that. What is he doing? See, we don't know about Jesus, who he is and what he did and why did he do what he did. We don't understand that. We don't understand Jesus' death upon the cross just by the creation. We don't understand God's really plan for us and his will for us apart from the word of God. So we have to read the word of God. The word of God is so important for you and I to get into if we want to know his will. We're not going to be able to understand his will and love unless we get in this book. But what is interesting is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, he inspires this word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, for all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, so the person of God may be thoroughly equipped in every good work. The Bible says that God inspired this book. Holy Spirit did. And this is a book like no other book. There's millions and millions of books that are written, but none is like this one. This is God's book. This is God's ordained book. The one he says, I wrote. I co-authored. I wrote this book for you and I. And so you and I need to be in this book. We need to be studying this book. And not other books that can you help to supplement this. But this has to be the book that we're in mainly. To study who God is and what he wants us to do. And we find that through the word of God. And that's what God wants us to do. We need to study the Bible. Is what the Bible, what God tells us. I will not try to rationalize to tell you that you can live the Christian life without this book. I'm not going to try to tell you that. You can live the Christian life, but not the way God intended you apart from this book. And you may be here today and you may say, man, I'm a believer in Jesus and you don't read your Bible. I can tell you this for sure, that you're definitely not living the Christian life God intended you to live. Apart from this book, apart from getting this book on a regular basis, because God expected you to get in this book and him to teach you and guide you through his truth, to speak to you through the word of God and to help you to live the life. And you and I, if we're not in this book, we're fooling ourselves. I'm living the Christian life. Not with God, you're not. Not with that, except apart from this. God wants us to be in this book. And you can study this book all the days of your life. Every day, and you're just going to scratch the surface. We're never going to get to the bottom of it. There's so much to learn from this book because it's like unlike any other book that we can study that God has given us. And we need to study this as individuals. Just don't come on Sunday morning just to rely on what you're going to get from me. We need to be self-feeders. Don't go to your small group and just rely on them. We need to study it for ourselves. We need to come on Sunday morning and to be here every Sunday morning to grow. We need to be in small groups. But also be reading the Bible yourself too is what God wants. He also wants us to be in the Bible so we can know the will of God, his declared will. Second, in verse number 9, he says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have never stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So we are to grow in wisdom and understanding. What does that mean? Well, that's the second stage of spiritual growth is life application. God expects life application for us to apply the Bible to our life. It doesn't help us just to read it, but it must be applied. So the distance between knowing the Bible and life application is the difference between smart, being smart, and being wise. We know a lot of people that know the Bible, but they do not know how to apply it. And what it is we can grow in knowledge in the scriptures, but we got to ask God to give us wisdom on how to apply it to our lives. God, how am I going to apply this? What do you want me to do with the word of God? How should it be used in my life? We can grow in all kinds of knowledge in that first one, Bible. Many people read the Bible, but they don't apply it. And God wants us to apply it. So before you reading in the morning or whenever you read the Bible, I'm going to ask you that maybe you begin with the prayer. You start with prayer and say, God, I really need to hear from you now. And that's one of those songs, I need to hear from you now. And we begin the prayer and say, God, I'm asking you this morning, whatever I'm going to pray, that you might reveal the truth about who you really are. And then help me apply it to my life today. Because that's what the Word of God does. Do you know that? The Word of God reveals the nature and character of who God is. God is telling you and I who he is, and also sometimes who he's not. When we see these people, they're lying and cheating, whatever they're doing, God says, I'm not like that. And when we hear about God as love and he's faithful and all those kind of things, that's who I am. So we're learning the nature and character of God, of who he is. So we come to God and say, God, I want you to show me this morning the truth of who you are, your nature and your character. And then help me to apply it to my life today, right now. What do I do with the word of God? That's what he wants us to do. Help us to apply it to our life. And I believe sometimes that when we do that, we're reading the word of God many times, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit lays it upon our heart as we're reading. He says, stop right there, Doug. That verse is for you. You ever have that happen to you? Where he speaks in your ear and your mind or lays it upon your heart and you're reading and says, wait. God says, I want to deal with you. There's something right here we need to slow down, and right there, that's the verse for you, because right now, Doug, you need to change your attitude. Or maybe he said, you know, you really need to love your spouse and treat her better right now. Or maybe he said, you need to control your anger. Or you need to stop gossiping. You need to act more in love. Or maybe what God is really saying, you need to honor me with your resources. And when he lays it upon our heart many times, and he doesn't, it's so important. He says, this verse is for you. And it's so important that we have life application in the growth, spiritual growth process, that we apply it to our lives. And sometimes the Holy Spirit, he does illumination. He illuminates. And what illumination means, that God kind of turns the light on. Helps you and I to understand. He says, not only the truth, but how to apply it in our life. See, it does no good for you and I to just grow in knowledge, just to be puffed up with knowledge. It does us no good unless we're going to apply it. God wants us to apply it to our life, and he helps us with that. And he wants us to do that. But what happens is sometimes people take this kind of context when they hear about illumination and stuff, they take it out of context. They say, because of that, the Holy Spirit will illuminate. I don't need to get under teaching from others. I don't need to come to church. I don't need to grow like that. I don't need to read the Word of God, because if God wants me to know, he'll illuminate. He'll let me know that. But they forget the other verses where the Bible says that God gave us pastors and teachers to equip and to train us to grow. God wants us to grow, and he wants us to apply the word of God. And it's not going to happen just by chance. It's by you and I yielding ourselves and getting into this book and reading it and allowing God to apply it to our lives, to study it, the truth. That's what God wants. And the Holy Spirit will illuminate our minds on how to apply it correctly, not incorrectly, but illuminate our minds to apply it correctly. That's what he wants. Colossians 1:10 says, we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. We are to live a life worthy of the Lord. And what happens, the third stage of spiritual growth is response. You and I are to respond to it. God wants us to respond. Our response is to walk in a manner worthy, or live worthy of the Lord. Walking or living is kind of our daily exercise that you and I are to do. Walk with the Lord. It's who we are. We are to walk worthy. That's who we are. That's what he says. If you're a believer in Christ, you are to walk worthy of the Lord. And this is a person who knows the word of God, and the Holy Spirit applies it to our life, and we respond to it. And then the Holy Spirit motivates us. He motivates us to do something about it. He motivates us to take that next step and to do something. And often this do something, this next step, involves two steps in our life that we need to do. It's just not to respond, hey, that's good. And we respond. And the two steps is we confess our sin, and we have a plan. And we come and we kind of confess our sin. We're reading that passage of scripture and say, hey, man, you got a problem with anger. And God reveals that to us. Or he says, boy, you know, you're just not loving enough. Or God says, you're just not spending enough time with me. And we come to God and we agree with God. And that's what confession is. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So we come to God and we agree with him. God already knows we did wrong. And we agree with God. God, I'm not spending enough time with you. God, I've been too angry. I've been treating people the right way and not acting love and all those type of things. And we confess that sin and we get right with God and we ask God forgiveness. God, please forgive me of what I've done. Let me ask you, will God forgive you? Will he? Yes? No? How many times will he forgive you? Always. Unlimited times. God forgives and he forgives and he forgives. And God's grace is amazing. It's wonderful. You can never go too far that God can't forgive. He will constantly forgive you. That's our God. But the second step is so important because we're pretty good at confessing many times. The second step is really important. We need to have a plan. So if God lays upon my heart, he says, you know, you're not spending enough time with me. I don't come up there and confess. You're right, God. I don't spend enough time with you and go on my own way. God expects me and you and I to create a plan. Say, okay, I need to spend more time with God. So how am I going to do that? I need to come up with a plan. Okay, I need to be in church. You're going to hear me say this over and over. On Sunday morning, guys, you need to be here. I just want to say, well, you need to be here on Sunday mornings. It's kind of sad sometimes not to see. We need to be here on Sunday mornings to grow together. That's why God has this. Church isn't supposed to be an option. This is supposed to be the most important thing we do out of our week, out of our calendar, as we go to church to grow. That's what God wants us to grow together. Not just to grow by ourselves, but grow together. Second, we look for a place and say, man, I need to get in a Bible study. I need to get in a Bible study in a small group so I can grow. And I need to come up with a plan every day while I'm reading the Word of God. I need to put it in my calendar. I need to get close to God. I need to have a plan. That's what God wants, a plan. Not you and I just to come up and say, oh, well God, I'm going to confess my sin and go on my way. But we come up with a plan. What am I going to do about it? How am I going to respond? God has revealed something I'm not doing right. I need to respond and have a plan. And that's what God wants us to do. So we have to respond to Scripture. Verse 10 goes on and it says, bearing fruit in every good work. The fourth stage of spiritual growth is fruit. God wants us to bear good fruit in every good work. Good fruit is the key. And the Holy Spirit always produces good fruit. How many of you try to produce your own fruit? You get up there and you try to grin and bear it. You try to press your will through something. And man, I'm through this circumstance, I'm going to produce love. And I'm going to be so loving toward others. And I'm going to be so kind. And I'm going to be so self-control. And I'm not going to lose it. And you try to do that. But if you listen to what Scripture tells us, the book of Galatians chapter 5 says, but the fruit of the Spirit, God's fruit is this love and joy. And it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's 9 fruit of the Spirit. Those are God's fruit. And you and I try to produce it, and we're producing that fruit, trying to produce it apart from God, love, joy, peace, patience, self-control, and kindness, and faithfulness. If we're doing it apart from God, it's our own fruit that we're producing and not from God. And so many times we're trying to produce that. And God says, wait, this is my fruit. You cannot produce my fruit. Only I can produce that. And the only way you and I can produce that fruit, by you and I coming and yielding our hearts and minds to God and yielding to the Holy Spirit, allowing him to live his life in and through us. And God says, I want to produce good fruit, not your fruit. Your fruit's not good. God's fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. That's why he calls it that. And he wants us to produce this good fruit. And all of a sudden, people start looking at us. When we start producing this good fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, they look at us and say, man, there's something different about you. Something's changed. And they start to see the change. They start to see in your life being transformed to be like Jesus. And you can see on this chart here, and it helps us. You're outlined, you can't see it real well, but this chart you can. You can see it's a big difference of just reading your Bible and doing a little devotion every morning. It makes us feel so good. Then to apply it, then respond to it, and see fruit. See, this is what God wants. He just don't want you and I to mark off, chalk off a time, hey, I read my Bible and I'm good. And I'm not against reading your Bible. You should read it. But sometimes that's all we do. God says, no, I want you to apply it. I want you to respond to it. I want to see fruit. I want to see a change in your life. That's what it's about, changing our life. And you see, there's a huge difference, but many people stay up there at the Bible. Oh, I have knowledge. And they're talking about the knowledge they've learned years ago, but what about today? That's what God is interested in. Not about how much knowledge you gained 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even a year ago, even 6 months ago, even last month. What are you doing today? Are you reading today? Are you studying today? Can you honestly say, I'm reading my Bible today and I'm applying it. I'm responding to it. And I'm seeing God transform my life and I'm seeing fruit in my life. Can you say that? If you're not reading your Bible and you're saying you're walking with God, you're fooling yourself. As I said before, we only walk with God as we're reading our Bible and we go through this. That's why Paul was praying this for the people of the Colossae. You need to be growing. And I want to help you do this. So I'm praying that you'd grow the way that God wants us to grow. In verse 10, he goes on and he goes, that we might be growing in the knowledge of God. We increase in the knowledge of God. So the fifth stage of spiritual growth is just not knowledge. It's knowing God better. That's what God wants. Growing in the knowledge of God, that we come to know God better. That's the key. That's what God says. It comes all around that you know me better. That you come to understand who I am. See, the Holy Spirit, what he does, he kind of personalizes it now. He makes it our own. He kind of says, now you know. Now you're experiencing God. Now you're walking with Jesus. Now you understand. And when the psalmist says, he says this. He says, Lord, your loving kindness is better than life itself. Now you think that psalmist learned that through Bible knowledge? You think he came to understand that, God? Your loving kindness is better than life itself. Maybe a little bit. But no, he learned that by walking with God and seeing it in his own life. That God's loving kindness is better than anything else. He experienced it. And that's what the life is all about. God starts personalizing it. It becomes real in your life because you've experienced it. And that's what the Bible's about. Not that you talk about it. Oh, I know a lot about what it says, what the Word of God says. But have you experienced it in your own life? Have you allowed God to personalize it? Are you experiencing that? Or when the psalmist says, as the deer thirsts for water, so my soul thirsts for you. Is that a person? That's a person who's walked with God. He's walked with God, and they've seen the goodness of God, and now they're asking God, God, restore that to me. I've lost it. God, somehow I've lost that first love. Somehow I've lost that passion for you. Somehow I've lost that excitement for you, and I know how good it was. Please restore that back. Restore my passion, that first love, that fire for you that I lost a long time ago. And this person understood it. They walked with God. They had that, and they lost it. Now they're asking God to restore that. That's experiencing God. That's what he wants. If you want to walk with him and understand him and live a life for him. And so many times as Christians, we miss it. Because we all think, I open up my Bible and I do my devotion. I'm not against devotions. Please don't misunderstand me. But that's as far as we go. And we don't apply it. We don't respond to it. We don't see fruit and we don't come to know God better. We're not looking to come to know God better. We're just doing it to chalk off some time. Say, I did it. Say, God, I did that. See, the person who only comes to the knowledge of God, the person who only comes and puts their faith and trust in Jesus and reads their Bible once in a while, is the knowledge they've gained just kind of bogs them down many times. They gain this knowledge because they never allowed the Word of God to become real in their life. They never allowed the Word of God to change their life. And what happened is they never applied it. They never applied it here. They never applied it. They never responded to it. They never personalized it. They never allowed it to produce fruit in their life. And they didn't come to know God better. That's what happened in life. They heard about it. They read about it. But they never progressed. They missed these other stages of spiritual growth. God never wanted you and I just to read the Bible and says, I did it. And has it changed your life? That's what matters. We're not just to read this to read it. This is a book that's to change your life. To make us different, to make us more like Jesus. And see, the person who does that and never responds, and we never see this, is a person that's in trouble. I'm here to tell you, you're in trouble if you're like that. Do you see the difference? Hopefully you see the difference, and I was hoping this cycle would help you to see the difference from Bible knowledge, application, response, and fruit from knowing God better. There's a huge difference from just reading your Bible to knowing God better. And it takes this cycle for you and I to come and respond to God's word. But I want to make sure you understand something before you leave here today. The Bible knowledge is absolutely critical for knowing God. We've got to be in our Bibles, and hopefully you understand that. But there's two dangers that take place many times to when we do that. Two dangers. The first danger is this. People say, I want to know God, but I don't want to know the Bible. I don't want to know the Word. What is the problem with that? Think about that. What is the problem? They want to know God, but it's the God they create apart from the Word of God. So they're not learning about the self-revealing God of the Word. And this is so critical for you and I to get. It's so critical that our God is the God of the Bible. And what happens, especially today, what is happening, is people will put their faith and trust in Jesus, and then they stop reading this book with all that we're being bartered with about what the family is and what we're to believe, and God has changed, and about eternity and about how to get to heaven. We start listening to what everybody says, and we're not into the Bible, and we start to believe some of those things. We start to compromise our faith. We start saying, hey, yeah, there could be other ways. Yeah, I could see what you're saying there. I understand what about the family. Yeah, the family is kind of changed. Things have changed. We start to believe and agree with the world because we're apart from this book. And we start saying God is like that. God is changing. No, God does not change. He's immutable. His word never changes. Not with the times, not with the culture. God's word is the thing we can depend upon. And sometimes we read the word of God. If we don't read the word of God, we can compromise. And we get like the rest of the world. That's why it's so important that we read the word of God. We have to know the Bible. If we're saying we're walking with Jesus, is the God of the Bible we're walking with? Or we accepted him and now I'm on my own. And I'm saying all these things about who we're telling people who God is, and that's not who he is. If we're going to tell someone about Jesus or about who God is, it better be what the scriptures say. Don't try to add or take anything away. Reveal who the God of the Bible says he is. And so we need to do that. The second danger here is convincing in ourselves that if I have knowledge of God's word, then I know God. That if I have knowledge of his word, then I know God. And that's not true. That's not true. That's not true at all. And sometimes people will read the word of God and they will stop right there. They never progress. And many Christians do that. It's sad, but many Christians do that if they're honest with themselves. See, when we learn the Bible and we grow in it and we start reading it and we read it, and God tests us along the way. He kind of does you. If you ever take your car and you do a diagnostic test, you take it in, you get a diagnostic test to see how it's running, see if it's running well. Well, many times God does a diagnostic test on our lives. He did that in the Old Testament many times with Israel, the people of Israel, so they could see where they were with God. So they could see how they were walking with God. And God would send a test away. Not so God would know. God knew where they were. So the people could understand where they were with God and seeing where they needed growth. And so God would send a test. And we call those tests many times storms, what they would call them, and we call them today storms of life. And God has sent a test our way so you could see where you are with him, how you're walking with him. Is your faith strong or not? And say, Brian, I thought I was here with my faith, and I'm really finding out, man, I'm not. A few weeks ago, I shared a kind of message about Jesus from Luke chapter 6 and Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Jesus said, the person who hears my words but does not put them into practice, it's like a person who builds their house upon the sand. And what Jesus wasn't really talking about, he wasn't talking about a house, he's talking about a life. The person who hears my words but does not put them into practice, the Bible, just reads the Bible, doesn't put them into practice. He goes like a person who builds their house upon the sand. They build their life upon the sand. And on the outside, they look like everybody else. We all look the same. We all look the same. And he says, everyone looks the same. But he goes, but then the storms came. And here's the thing. The storms of life will always, always come. That's what Jesus was telling us. They will always come in your life. And when they come, and that life that's built upon the sand, that life comes crashing down and is turned upside down, is what he was saying. It is turned upside down. They're still a believer. They're still a believer. They're not going to lose their salvation, but they've been just listening. They haven't been responding. They haven't been applying. They haven't been doing. And that's the difference in them. And what happens? That's why sometimes we see people that come to church for many years and then a storm happens in their life and they don't know how to handle it. So they walk away from the church. They stop coming to church. They drop out of church and they drop out of church and they get angry at God. They actually get angry at him. What are you doing? Why? Because all they've done, they've never got beyond the Bible. They stayed there. They never progressed. They never learned the rest of it, just the Bible. I just know the Bible. They haven't come to really know the God of the Bible and how to walk with him. They never learned that. They have knowledge. Oh, you can ask them. They have all this knowledge. But have you applied it? Have you responded? Have you done those things? That's the thing. Have you produced fruit? Have you come to know God better? See, every one of us are in charge and responsible for our spiritual growth and development. You are responsible before God. God's going to hold you accountable. Are you developing? Are you growing in your own spiritual walk? He's going to hold every one of us. God is doing everything that he needs to do. He is there. He's ready to work with you. He's ready to do it. And that's what the Bible says. So we have to come, and God says, I've not left you alone. I've given you everything that you need. I've placed my spirit inside of you. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. I've given you the truth of my word. Everything you need is before you, and all you have to do is avail yourself to it. And he said, you will become all that I need you to become, all that I want you to become. You will reach the purpose that I have for you, but only one that will stop in you is you and I. And we get so wrapped up in our own lives, so wrapped up in what we're doing, and we're missing what God has called us to live. Guys, it's not about your life. It's about Jesus' life living in us. That's what this life is about Jesus. Not about all the things we're doing and we're so busy. We need to slow down and we need to realize I'm missing what life's about. I'm missing the purpose. The purpose is about what Jesus is doing in and through us. Is accomplishing his will, accomplishing what he wants to do in and through our lives. And so what I'm asking you to do, that to kind of look at these five stages of spiritual growth, and let's move forward, not away from Bible knowledge, but through Bible knowledge, and all the way to knowing God better. That's what God wants from us. Not just Bible knowledge, but all the way that you and I might know Jesus better. Now, as I put this outline up there, I'm presupposing that you know Jesus. This is, if you never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, this is not for you. This is for the person, everything I shared this morning is for the person who has faith and trust in Christ. You know Jesus Christ, your Savior. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, please listen to me today because I have some tremendous news for you. I want you to know that God loves you. He loves you so much. I mean, God really loves you. There's no one else loves you as much as God loves you. And he wants to have a relationship with you. But because of your sin, it has separated you from God. And God loves you so much because there's nothing you can do about that. There's nothing you can do to approach God. So God so loved the world that he sent his son Jesus from heaven to this earth. And Jesus came to this earth. And God placed Jesus upon the cross. And God placed all of your sins, all those things that separate you from God, he placed upon Jesus. And Jesus died on the cross for all those things. And he paid the price. He paid the penalty for your sins. So now they're paid for. So now you and I can come to God the Father through his son, Jesus Christ, because he paid the price. We can approach him. But first we have to come to him and place our faith and trust in what Jesus did. We have to believe. We have to accept it. We kind of come to the point where we say, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. And I accept him right now as my Savior. And as simple as that. Just coming to God. God, I know I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus Christ died for me. And I accept him right now as my Savior. If you've never done that today, please do that. Please accept him. Do not leave here without doing that. That's what matters. And then once you do that, you put your faith and trust in Jesus. God forgives you all of your sins, no matter what you've done. And now he puts you in the family of God, and you now are in Christ. And now you can start this kind of stages of the spiritual development from the knowing the Bible, the life application, response, and fruit, and get to know God better. This is for you. Please put your faith and trust in Christ. For all of us that know Jesus, these five stages of development are so crucial to us. It's so crucial that you and I would grow. And I want to see our church growing, not just to grow in knowledge, but to grow to come to know God better through his son, Jesus. As Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, I want to know him. Not that I've arrived or attained all this, but I press on toward which Christ Jesus took hold of me. As I press on. That's what we're to do. Press on and come to know him better. What I want to do here is I want us all to stand together, and we're going to kind of pray this verse 9 and 10 together. We're going to read it together. So please stand. Please put it up on the screen. And I kind of changed some of the words to kind of personalize it for us, but we're going to read this together, okay? So I'm going to begin, but make this a prayer. It's just not words. This is a prayer. This is life-changing, that God would change our hearts and minds this morning and from every morning here on out for the rest of our days in this earth. So let's begin. Lord, fill us with the knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding so as to walk in a manner worthy of our Lord fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God. In Jesus' name, amen. May this be a prayer we continue to pray every day in our lives. That's not today. Just not today. We get up and every morning we pray this prayer. Say, God, I ask this. And we read verse 9 and 10. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. You can read the rest. But we read these two verses that we might move forward from Bible knowledge to knowing God better. Amen.